You take your Bible, turn to the book of Genesis chapter 20, the book of Genesis chapter 20. We have our Bible studies going on now. Our Old Testament book is the book of Genesis. Our New Testament book is the book of Matthew. We've come to Genesis chapter number 20 in our study for tonight. We're asking God to speak to us through His Word. Genesis chapter 20, we'll begin our reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she's my sister, and Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, Behold, thou art but a dead man for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, She's my sister, and she, even she herself said, He is my brother. In the integrity of my heart, the innocency of my hands, have I done this. God said unto him in a dream, Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart. For I also withheld thee from sinning against me, therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he's a prophet, and he shall pray for thee. Thou shalt live, and if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, and all that are thine. Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning, called all his servants, told all these things in their ears. The men were sore afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, What hast thou done to us? What have I offended thee, that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done." The Bible says in verse number 1 that Abraham sojourned in Gerar. And that's the title of the message tonight. Abraham sojourned in Gerar. Let's pray together. We share these thoughts. Father, help us. May the will of God be done in Jesus' name. Amen. In this chapter, we see Abraham is journeying from where he was toward the south until he arrived in the land that's called Gerar. Now, while in this land, we see a story taking place. I didn't read all of it for time's sake. But this story calls out for our attention and our admonition. Now, as we read through this chapter and this story begins to unravel, there are many points of application that we can learn from and apply to our personal lives. And let me remind you here that the Word of God is not given just to teach facts, but it's given to change our lives. This is where application comes in, you see. In other words, don't just look at the Bible to find out what it says, but look at the Bible to find out what it means to you today. In this passage, ask the Lord to speak to you in your personal life. Now, as you read through this chapter, it is so practical, it's ridiculous, honestly. And I'm going to give you several thoughts tonight. Every one of these points are application points from this chapter. Simple, to the point, here we go. Number one, the first major point we see, first of all, is a child of God is never beyond falling to sin. A child of God is never beyond falling to sin. See, in these opening verses, we see Abraham is now around 100 years old. However, we see him making a decision in the land of Gerar that shows he was still not beyond falling to sin. See, Abraham told King Abimelech of Gerar that Sarah was his sister. Sound familiar? Maybe early on in his life, in chapter 12, may I remind you that this was a half-lie, because in verse number 12 he identified that she was, notice it right here, she is my sister, she's the daughter of my father but not the daughter of my mother. He's saying she's my half-sister. I didn't lie to you. He's making excuses. But may I say to you tonight, listen to me, even though she was his half-sister, this was a lie to this king, because get this, God judges our speech by what our intentions are. Did you hear what I just said? In other words, he was telling a half-truth, but his intentions were deception. See, his intention in this statement was to deceive this particular king. He was giving the impression by this statement that Sarah was only his sister, you see.
See, he was saying, she's my sister. Later on, he's trying to justify it and say, she is my half-sister. But when he was using that, he said, I feared for my life, so I said that she's my sister. Even though it's a half-truth, his intention was so he wouldn't be killed. So he was giving Abimelech the idea and the impression by his half-truth that he and Sarah were only brother and sister and nothing else. That's what made this statement a lie. He went on to tell the king that the reason he did this was because he feared for his life in that place, and he had a suspicion that there was no fear of God among that place. That's found in verse number 11. He's saying, the reason I did this is because I thought to myself, surely there's no fear of God in this place. And he's saying, in other words, he's suspicious. And he says right here, they will slay me for my wife's sake. He's fearing man. He's not living in faith. He's fearing man. He has lack of faith during this time, and he resorted to deception when he went into this place. Someone put it this way. How often those who are not afraid to trust God with their souls are afraid to trust him in regard to their bodies. Let me ask you a question. You ever worried about your body? You ever worried about your safety? You ever worried about your protection? How is it that a child of God can trust God to get him to heaven, but doesn't trust God to get him through life? This is what Abraham's going through. Another man put it this way, we can never know what is in our hearts until circumstances arise to draw it out. This man was in a place he should not have been. And because of this, he began to put his confidence in his own wisdom. And he began to scheme and deceive other than trusting God's promises in his life. See, God already promised him Isaac. God already promised him the land. God already promised him protection. But at this time in his life, he's living in fear instead of faith. And when you live in fear, it can cause you to make some foolish decisions. It really can. By the way, temptation has more power in wrong places. Amen. Temptation increases if you're in places you should not be. If Abraham thought that that place had no fear of God, verse 11, look at it. Abraham said, because I thought, surely the fear of God's not in this place. Then I ask him a question. Why are you there? Why in the world did you move your family there? Why would you send them to a place where you look around and say, surely God's fear is not in this place? So when he moved his family to that place, it turned up the temptation card in his life, and he gave in to deception, and he's falling to sin here. I'm telling you, the interesting thing to note here, and here's the main point I'm trying to get across. A child of God is never beyond falling to sin. Here's the main point I'm trying to get across. This is just an old besetting sin he had in his life. We've already preached on this before. He struggled with this before in his life. In chapter 12, verses 10 to 20, remember when he moved his family during famine? Maybe you don't remember that message, but during the famine that came, he made a conscious decision to move his family to Egypt. And when he went down there, he told his wife, now, if Pharaoh asks you who you are, tell him you're my sister. What I'm saying to you is this. When you come to chapter 20, we've already preached on chapter 12, but you come to chapter 20, it's been at least 20 years that's passed. At least. And in that time between when he lied in Egypt and when he lied in Gerar, during that time he had built an altar to God. He had defeated Chedorlaomer and all of his allies. He had been blessed by Melchizedek, and he had received mighty promises from God. However, he was not beyond falling to sin. He had a besetting sin. And he's still struggling with this pet sin in his life years later. Somebody put it this way, a sin once committed is not difficult to repeat. How hard it is to lay aside one's besetting sin. It is, in this we learn that as God's children, get this friends, as God's children, we cannot trust our flesh. And I'm telling you tonight that we need to recognize our own weakness and take caution and not put our guard down. Let me ask you this. Let me say this. We are never beyond falling to sin. And I'm telling you this tonight, that sin has no expiration date. I'm telling you, until you get to heaven, you're going to be battling the flesh, you're going to be battling the world, you're going to be battling the devil, and you cannot trust yourself. You better get that through, friends. I don't trust myself. You better not trust yourself, because if Abraham, the father of faith, could struggle with lying through his life, who's to say that we can't struggle with something all the days of our life? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. That's what the Bible says. Major point number one, a child of God is never beyond falling to sin. Number two, just practical points tonight. Here it is. Adultery is a great sin against God. Adultery is a great sin against God. We see this in verses 3 to 9 and then in verse number 16. Now, I'm not going to read this for time's sake. But in these verses here, God came to Abimelech. Now, you can read it even while right here while I'm going through this point if you want, or you can read those verses later. Here's what happens. Abraham takes his family. Abraham takes his family and moves to the land of Gerar. While he's there, he lies to the king of Gerar. The king of Gerar has no idea who she really is. So he's innocent really in this, but he took this man's wife. God came to him in a dream. And notice what God said. Look at verse number 3. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said, behold, thou art but a dead man. For the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. Now stay with me here. He came to him and said, you're dead. You're a dead man breathing, Abimelech. Now stay with me here. Because he had taken another man's wife. Abimelech was innocent in this because he didn't know that Abraham's wife was Sarah. He only thought that Sarah was his sister. And the Lord told him in this dream that he knew that he had done this in innocence. He told him that. But then he came to him, notice this, in verse number 6. In other words, the king in verse number 5 says, listen, I was innocent in this. I didn't realize who she is. Notice what God said in verse 6. God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou did this in the integrity of thine heart. For I withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Notice verse number 7. Now therefore, restore the man his wife. Then he goes on to say this, the latter part. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die. Doesn't sound like God sweeping anything under the rug here, does it? Here it is. He's saying, listen. You didn't know then, but you know now. I'm revealing it to you. She's another man's wife, and I'm telling you now, you will make the next move, sir. Abimelech, I call the rules. I've made the rules. You stay inside the boundaries, you'll be fine, but you step outside the boundaries, you're going to die, big boy. That's what he says. Now notice in verse 6 how the Lord told Abimelech that this sin of taking another man's wife was against who? What's he say? You do this great sin against Abraham. Is that what he said? No. He said, you do this sin against me. That's what he said. Abimelech called it later on in verse number 9. Notice it. It says, then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, what hast thou done unto us? And what have I offended thee that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? There's where I get my point. That adultery is a great sin against God. Abimelech called it a great sin. God said it's against me, so it's a great sin against God. You see that? That's what he's saying here. Then notice what Abimelech told her in verse number 16. Boy, when I saw this and learned this, this is here's my word. This is powerful. Look at verse number 16. And unto Sarah, he, Abimelech, said, behold, I've given thy brother. He's rebuking her. He's speaking out loud and said, oh, I'm giving your brother something here. 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, notice this. He is to thee a covering of the eyes unto all that are with thee and with all other. Thus she was reproved. You know what the Word of God's teaching us here? Abimelech's saying it, but it's in the Word of God. You know what this means when he said your husband is a covering to your eyes? You know what he's saying here? Listen to this. This was his way of saying that her husband was to stand between her and all others. This was his way of saying that he was a covering to her eyes and that she was to look at no other. And she was not to desire to be looked at by any other man. I'm telling you. She was married. Therefore, she was not free to desire another man. She was married. Therefore, she was not free to let another man desire her. I'm telling you, this is serious. Serious. This is powerful, and every married couple needs to take heed to this statement. My wife and I are coverings to each other's eyes. You know what that means? That means that we're so close that she's the only one I see. She covers my eyes. She's covering my eyes. Means when I look, she's the only one I see. She's the only one I desire. There's nobody else that can get close to me because I don't even see them. Adultery is a great sin against God. By the way, preaching against sin is not easy. It's not easy. But it's truth, friends. And I'm telling you, I'm not throwing punches. Could there be somebody here tonight that's committed adultery in their past? The great thing about that is if God's forgiven you, it's over. It's finished. He'll never bring it up again. What I'm preaching for is not to dig up past sins. That's what the devil does. Amen. That's what the devil does. The devil brings up past sins. That's not what this is about. Here's what it's about. If you're married, stay faithful to your mate. Do not commit adultery against your mate, because if you do, that is a great sin against Almighty God. This needs to be preached, my friends. And I'm telling you, I love you and love your marriage and love your family too much not to blow the trumpet against adultery, because that's what God does. Let us be true to our mates. This is pleasing to the Lord, and to do otherwise is a great sin against God. And by the way, God judges it. Look at verse number 3. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man. Look at verse number 7. Know that if you don't restore, thou shalt surely die. Look at verse number 17. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech. Let me tell you something. The judging hand of God is upon adulterers and adulteresses. He judges it. He cannot stand it. By the way, it's interesting. Whenever David sinned with Bathsheba, Bathsheba was another man's wife. And David knew it, but he took her anyway. Nobody's going to tell him what to do. He was the king. If he wanted it, he went ahead and did it, and that's exactly what he did. You know the rest of the story. She began to expect a child. God sent a prophet to David. And that prophet stuck his finger in David's face and said, thou art the man. David gets right with God, begins to repent. God calls him a man after his own heart. I'm glad that when the world turns their back on people who've even sinned in adultery, the world may spit on people like that. The world may turn their back on people like that, but not God. Not God. That doesn't give you a license to go commit adultery, friends. But aren't you glad that as a child of God, no matter what you've done, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just, forgive you your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness? I'm telling you that he gets right with God in Psalm 51. Here's what David said. He said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. He had Uriah killed. He invaded the privacy of that holy union But when David's getting right with God, he got it right. He didn't say, against Bathsheba and Uriah did I do this evil. No, he said, God, I did this evil against you and you only. Hebrews 13:4, a marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Exodus 20, verse 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. Proverbs 6:32, but whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. Matthew 5:27-28, somebody says, wait a minute, I've not committed adultery. Wait a minute, I've not been unfaithful to my wife or my husband. Wait a minute, here's what Jesus said. You've heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Could I be speaking to a man tonight that you're hooked on pornography? Could I be speaking to a man tonight that says, I've got a secret sin and I'm not committing the act, therefore I'm not in sin? Not according to the word of God, sir. God says if you even look at another woman to lust after her, you're an adulterer. That's what he says. You have been unfaithful to your wife. You have been unfaithful to your husband. And I'm telling you this, your husband and your wife, listen to me please, God gave them to you as a covering for your eyes. If you look elsewhere, you are against God. Amen, friends. I know this is hard preaching, but this needs to be preached. Job 31:1, what did Job say about his eyes? Here's what he said. He said, now listen, Job had been, he had gone through so many things. Boils up and down his body. He had lost his family, all these things. Here's what he said in Job 31:1, I've made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? There he is, hurting and anguish. His life's been ripped apart, and he says, I've made a covenant with mine eyes. Why should I think about a woman? This is a trap that the devil sets. Read the book of Proverbs and see what God says about adultery. The adulteress hunteth for the precious life. And if a man or a woman commits adultery, they become a piece of bread. What am I saying to you? I'm saying God's a God of great grace. God's a God of great mercy, and God can use anybody, even somebody who's committed adultery, if they get right with God. God can use them. But I'm begging you tonight, if you're married, stay faithful to one another. Stay faithful. Why? Because to do otherwise is a sin against God. That's number two. Number three, quickly. That's my famous lies, quickly. But quickly. Spouses are to protect one another from sin, not expose one another to it. Let me say it again. Spouses, mates, are to protect one another from sin, not expose one another to it. In verses 3 to 9, I've already brought this out anyway, but Abraham purposely moved to this place that he didn't even think God's fear was there. He moved his wife to a place where he had to coach her to lie for him. And by doing this, listen to me. When Abraham lied about Sarah being only his sister, he was exposing her to a potential great sin against God. See, he was being very selfish here. In this, by trying to protect himself while giving no thought to what Sarah may endure. In this we see a husband exposing his wife to sin. Sarah was going to be corrupted morally unless God stepped in. That king didn't bring him into his household just to look at her. Excuse me, we're grown-ups in here. He brought her into his house to marry her and have sexual relations with her, and Abraham knew that. But the only thing he was concerned about, I don't want to die. This is the father of faith we're talking about, friends. This is Abraham. And all I'm saying to you is this. All spouses, especially husbands, but all spouses can learn here that it is our responsibility. Listen to me, please. It's our responsibility to protect our mates from sin, not expose them to it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me ask you, husband. Let me ask you, wife. Are you protecting one another from or exposing one another to sin? Let me apply it this way. What television programs do you watch at home? What movies do you put in? What music do you listen to? What books do you read? What are you exposing your family to? Somebody says, what's the big deal? I mean, so what if that show has a homosexual couple on it? What's the big deal? It's funny. Not in the eyes of God, it's not, friends. Not in the eyes of God. And if you have children in your home and you expose them to that and they grow up and think that's just normal, you help create that. Amen. I'm telling you, it's time that we sanctify one another. Don't expose each other to sin. Protect each other from it. Ephesians 5, 25 to 27 says this, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Notice this, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You know what Jesus does for his children? He cleans you up. He puts you in situations where he makes you clean and fresh, smelling good, looking good. I mean, you're clean when you're around him. He's not going to throw you into the garbage pit. He's not going to throw you into the skunk hole. He's going to keep you clean. He sanctifies his children. So a husband should do that with his wife. If there's ungodly music, sir, that's your responsibility to get rid of that in your home. Amen. If there's ungodly television watching, I don't care what your children think about it. Their sanctity, their sanctification means a whole lot more than their current entertainment. This is number three. Then number four, our sin affects others. Our sin affects others. I've already read this, but in verses 12 through 13, look at verse number 13. It came to pass when God caused me to wander from my father's house that I said unto her, this is my kindness which thou shalt show unto me. At every place whither we shall come, say of me, he is my brother. And yet we see in verse number 8 that all these servants are now sore afraid. We see in verses 17 and 18 that God has judged this city and has closed the wombs of all the women. Let me ask you a question, why? Look at the last phrase of the chapter. Because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. But let me ask you a question. Whose idea was it? It was Abraham's. And Abraham had this sin that affected other people. See, when God told Abimelech about the danger he and others were in, he called all of his servants together, told him what the Lord had said. And the Bible says these men were sore afraid. Abimelech called for Abraham and reprimanded him for what he had done in making him believe Sarah was available to wife. Abraham began to make excuses for his sin. You can see that in verses 11 to 13. He said he was fearful. Then he tried to justify his sin by saying, she is my half-sister. Finally, we see him blaming God. Look at verse number 13. It came to pass when God caused me to wander from my father's house. He's blaming God here. This is God's fault. Sound a little bit like Adam and Eve. Amen. He's blaming God. In all of this, we see God's man making a terrible mistake. Awful sin. He wasn't perfect. And he proved it yet again by this sinful act. However, notice closely that when Abraham prayed, the Bible says God healed Abimelech, his wife, his maidservants. They bare children. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. In all of this, what God spoke to me about is how Abraham's sin had an effect on other people. His sin didn't just hurt him and Sarah, but it hurt Abimelech too. And it hurt the women in that city, and it hurt the other men in that city. It's time we understand how selfish our sin truly is. When we step out of line and give in to sin, we are potentially bringing disaster and danger upon others around us. All you got to do is read Judges chapter 2, verses 10 to 13. The nation of Israel who loved God, knew God, they disobeyed God's command, and there was another generation that arose after them and didn't know God at all, didn't love God at all. Read it yourself. You sin, you step out of line, you're living in fear instead of faith, you start justifying things, you start saying, well, God understands this is the right thing to do, even though you know in your heart it's wrong. If you go ahead and give in to something like that, you are condemning other people. Because sin affects others. Then number five, this is the last thing we'll cover tonight. It's the last thing in the message. This is simple. We've noticed these thoughts together. Number one, a child of God is never beyond falling to sin. Stay on guard. Don't trust yourself. Stay close to God. Number two, adultery is a great sin against God. If you've been guilty of it, forget it. If you ask God to forgive you, if you haven't, beg God to forgive you. And if you have, it's forgiven. It's under the blood. He'll never bring it up again. Go forward for Jesus Christ. And if you're married right now, whether you have or not, listen to me, stay faithful to each other. Don't look elsewhere. Don't look at condemnation. Don't look at judgment. Because that's all adultery will lead to. No question about it. God has said in His Word, be sure your sin will find you out. I heard today of a preacher in America that went to prison today, as far as we know, for 10 years. Fundamental, independent, Baptist preacher who was sentenced today, to our understanding, to 10 years in prison because he got yoked up with a minor, took her across state lines to have some sexual activity with her. How'd they find out about it? You want me to tell you how they found out about it? Are you listening? He left his cell phone on the pulpit. And one of the deacons found his cell phone. They didn't know whose it was. And a text message came by with him kissing this young girl in the hand of a deacon. Be sure your sin will find you out. God does not grin at adultery. He never has and He never will. Let us stay faithful to our mates. Number three, we learn from the Word of God that spouses are to protect one another from sin, not expose them to it. We learn, number four, our sin affects others. And then number five, we learn in verses 17 and 18 that life comes from God. Life comes from God. We see this. Look at verse 17. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. I don't know what you see there, but what I see there is this. When God healed the women, they were able to bear children. That's what it says. Verse 18 tells us the Lord closed up all the wombs of all the women. You know what this tells me? Life comes from God, friends. In other words, God is the author of life. Friends, listen. Abortion is murder. Did you hear what I just said? It is not an option. It is not a choice. It is murder. Somebody says, prove it. Thank you for asking me. Psalm 139, 13 to 17, listen to this. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Those verses say that God was putting him together in his mother's womb. And I'm telling you, I don't care who says it. Amen. I don't care who says it. I don't care what his name is. I don't care what the position is. I don't care who it is, whether it's a pastor, whether it's a president, whether it's a CEO, makes no difference who it is. Adultery is murder in the eyes of Almighty God. Life is from God. Life comes from God. May I say that society generally condones what Scripture condemns. And there's a movement going on today that says that ought to be the woman's choice. Ought to be the woman's choice. Excuse me, she made the choice already. Don't take it out on the child. God help us. One good thing that comes out of all this is we know that unborn babies are with the Lord Jesus himself. May God help us to see this, my friends. That in a world where unborn babies are looked upon as unwanted things, let God's children realize that life can only start with God. And let us not ever get used to the idea that abortion is okay. It's not okay, friends. It's a sin. It's wickedness. Psalm 22:10, I cast upon thee from the womb. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Psalm 71:6, by thee have I been holding up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. Isaiah 44:24, thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. Don't ever get over this. In this text, we once again saw Abraham, the mighty man of faith, fail to the sin of disbelief. And even though he sinned, God still considered him a prophet. And God heard his prayers. We serve a gracious and merciful God. However, his sin put his wife in harm's way and caused God's judgment upon others. When Abimelech heard the truth, he submitted to God and honored Abraham as God's prophet. And God healed him and the women so they were able to bear children again. Simple story tonight with five major lessons. I ask you a question, what's God speaking to you about? In this story, we brought out some practical truths for all of us to be aware of. And may the Lord add his blessing to them. And may we never get away from them. May the Lord help us with this. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love you. Help us to be faithful. Help us to trust you, believe you, and obey you. God, direct us, I pray. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. As soon as they get prepared, let me ask you this question. Are you a child of God? Do you know the Lord? Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? Number two, what is your besetting sin? What is the sin that keeps rearing its ugly head in your life? Stay on guard. Number three, are you being faithful to your mate? Number four, are you protecting your mate from sin? Number five, realize your sin affects others. And number six, realize that life comes from God. And abortion is not right, it's wrong. If the Lord is speaking to you, you can come and talk to God. Ask God to help you. Father, add your blessing to this, I pray. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, Brother Gary is beginning to sing. If God is speaking to you, would you leave your place and come as he sings? Come now, would you do it?
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way.
Amen. I'm going to call the church into session just for a few minutes. We need to go over our